I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have Coach Joe. If you know who she is, you already know everything she's involved with. She's a remarkable woman who has done a lot in our soccer community already. I'm not going to steal her thunder from her introduction, so let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
My name's Joanna Sanchez, and I go by Coach Joe on the soccer field. At the moment, in 2024, I am a varsity soccer coach at the Hockaday School. It's an all-girls private school here in Dallas, and I am the owner of Skills for Soccer. So I do individual training, small group, team trainings, camps, clinics, all that fun stuff, and it's just player development that I focus on. I am the director of the Junior Academy program in Frisco, and this is for players between the ages of 2 to 6. It's a year-round program. Right now we're wrapping up winter, kicking off spring. We do free demo days so players can come check out the program and what we're about. We have camps as well, like during the season if you're looking for, or during breaks. That way you can check the indoors, rain or shine, classes are on. And then I do ODP training for North Texas U11 girls. And this is my second year doing ODP. And if I'm not doing any of that, I'm a real estate agent. Soccer with a twist of, yeah, real estate.
Real estate allows you to have the opening to do all the fun soccer stuff.
Yes.
Where did your soccer journey actually start for you?
It started with me. My mom played basketball, my dad played soccer, and I remember at such an early age, I watched my dad play soccer on the weekend. We get ready, we get our cooler, our water bottles. My dad is gonna go play with his team, and just being on the sidelines and watching the excitement from like the warm-up, how the crowd would get excited if our defense denied any chances, how they would cheer when my dad would score. It was just something that I saw on a constant basis on the weekend. Even at home, we'd be watching Mexico play on TV, USA, and we watched more like Mexican League than MLS. But then again, this was in the 90s, so I don't think MLS was that big. It's grown so much now. But my first chance that I got to play was we had a group of like family friends that wanted to play at the indoor arena at the Mustang in the Woodlands. So for the ones that know that area, it was like the go-to spot for training. It's not there anymore, sadly, but I joined co-ed soccer, and I remember my first game. Nothing prepares you more than actually doing it yourself. One thing is watching my dad, and the other was actually playing. My first game ever, I got hit in the face and I got knocked down. I blacked out, and I don't know how long I was blacked out for, but I know my mom was like trying to wake me up. I woke up to her hovering over me, and I had like tears because I was just so embarrassed. I was on the ground. So she had a talk with me about not giving up on your team, not giving up on yourself, and that you got to stick to it. They paid for the season. I wanted to quit. I'm not gonna lie. That was very painful. But I'm glad that I had that great pep talk and just continue to play. And that's just like a hard life lesson from an early age is you get knocked down, but you have to learn to pick yourself up and just keep going.
That's
With my intro.
impressive. So
But
as you went through your journey, so how long did you play in high school? Did you play in club soccer? Did you play collegiately?
I actually play with boys up to high school. And in high school, that was my first all-girls team. And I was confident in myself that I was going to make varsity. So my freshman year, it was about, let's say the roster size was 18 or 20, and it was 90% seniors. But I was like, just determined freshman. I was like, I'm going to make varsity. And I didn't make it at tryouts. And I was so upset. But again, another hard life lesson is okay, you didn't get what you want. You can whine about it, or you can try to get better. And I attended like a few like preseason JV games. And there was a tournament for JV that I knew our coach was watching, the varsity coach. In my mind, I was like, I'm going to prove to you why I should have been on varsity. And as a sweeper, I remember specifically that tournament. I was killing it. I was clearing the ball, denying all the chances. I think that was one of my better games because I knew she was watching. And then that next week, she bumped me to varsity. And it was like the sweetest thing ever because, again, going back to when I was seven, I wanted to quit. But you can't quit. You have to keep trying. You have to prove not only to yourself that you can be better. So I made varsity my high school year as a freshman. And I played club. I guess when I was young, I played for Rush or Texas Rush. And then I stopped for a bit. Then I played a little bit in high school, another club out in Conroe. College, I did not play. I'm a first generation college student, so I knew nothing about the process. I literally was doing everything on my own, figuring out applications, figuring out scholarships. What is a grant? What is a loan? All that stuff. I had no idea. I couldn't ask my parents. I had counselors. They helped me get scholarships, thank God. I didn't get a soccer scholarship, but academic wise, I was covered with those scholarships, thank goodness. But for college, I knew that I had heard the word walk on. So I figured I'd stay local for 2 years. At Lone Star College, they had enough boys to do two teams, and they asked me to play with them. And as flattering as that was, because I'd played with boys, I'm like, but why isn't there a women's team? Why do we have so many boys? Like, I trained with them, but there was no boys. So I was part of the student activity team there, or not team, student activities group. And they had me put flyers all over campus. That way we could promote that there's going to be a women's team. And luckily we had enough to just have 11 to start. And most of the girls had never played before. They were like, oh my gosh, I saw that there's soccer here. I want to try it. And for me, I was like, how come you've never played? Like, soccer is the best sport ever. I've been playing since I was 7, and you're just now trying it in college. But it was amazing because maybe they didn't have that opportunity to play it, and now they could. So just for them to be able to play it at any point of their life, I was like, yes, come on. Like, we made longtime friends. So that was community college. Didn't only play there for 2 years. I tried to walk on at Sam Houston State. And it's funny how, again, going in with that confidence that you want to go in there, and you're like, okay, I'm going to make it. I know what I know, bring in my skill set. But after practice, or my walkout, what is it, walk on practice, the trial, the coach was like, with a few words, he said that the team had a different vision and it didn't include me. So I didn't know how to take that because I had always played soccer since I was 7, and now I was like a junior in college. I was like, what does that mean? I'm never going to play again. Ever? What does that mean? I've always been part of a team, training, traveling, games, all that stuff. And then it was supposed to be over. So then what I did, funny enough, they had a MLS team started for the Houston Dynamo. And that very next day I went over and I applied and I worked for them. I worked for the Houston Dynamo. So I went from trying to walk on, didn't make it. That's fine. I still want to be part of soccer. And then I joined the MLS. And that's how I got into coaching.
That's awesome. So, did you end up making the dash then, or with the Houston?
No, they didn't have Dash back then. I made the team, the marketing team. So I was
Marketing team.
like,
Okay.
yeah.
That's awesome. So that's how you got your foot into the door into the world of the MLS then.
Yes.
That's awesome. So, as you progress, so how did you start into coaching then? And we can come back to the MLS world in a few.
I got into coaching as soon as I knew I probably wasn't going to be part of a team. So I still wanted to stay connected to the sport, and I wanted to keep, again, being connected, whether or not as a player, but as a coach. And when I worked for the marketing team for the Houston Dynamo, it was the most fun job ever. They sent us all over Houston. That's how I learned about community relations, vendor relations, community outreach, all that stuff. I remember going on stage for this big Cinco de Mayo event, and I had to introduce the Dynamo dancers and the players and make an announcement about the game. And here I am, like, I don't know, junior in college. Yeah, you take public speaking classes, but that did not prepare me for like thousands of people, you know, being there. And it was just like the hype and the energy. So through all those events, we got to go to schools and do clinics. And I was like, I played, like, how hard could it be to tell kids what to do? You know, just play these games. Yeah, if you don't have a curriculum, it's very hard. You can't just wing it. Depends also on the age and your experience. But that's how I got into coaching, is doing those clinics with Houston Dynamo. And it was so much fun. We did them before the game, and then after the game, we'd go and work the game.
That's really impressive, to be honest, because the taking your passion and pivoting to the other side of the world, because it going from being on the field, quote, being behind the scenes of doing everything, that's a hard turn. I can't imagine the transition that you had to go through and the emotional side of that. With that being said, did you feel like because you were able to pivot so well, do you think that set you up for the journey that you're on now with your skit with your I want to call it your football academy, so to speak, soccer for skills, and what you're doing today with coaching, with ODP and whatnot? Or do you think you would be here anyways just because the love of the game?
I think for me, and anything that I do, I wouldn't say try to be like a perfectionist, but I want the best. And I knew that it was a male-dominated sport, as well as I mainly had male coaches, but I didn't want to just show up on the field and be like, okay, I'm a player and this is why I should coach. I started to do some research. I was like, oh, okay, there's licenses. There's US Soccer Federation licenses. So I actually took the e-course with my dad. We signed up together, and it was a weekend course in Houston. And then I think you were supposed to have it for a year or two. I can't recall. It's been a while to get the D. And then we got the D license out in San Antonio. And doing those together side by side with my dad was freaking awesome, you know, because he's been a ref. And I remember he tried to play professionally. And then here we are, like dad and daughter, doing the licenses together. So those courses taught me a lot about positive reinforcement, preparing your curriculum, tailoring it specifically to the age, all that stuff. And for coaching, I've done a lot for a lot of youth clubs, admin, sales, customer service, like website, all that stuff. But I've seen a lot of club coaches, how they're gone all week in the afternoon, weekends. I wouldn't say they get burned out, but they give it their all out there on the field. And for Skills for Soccer, for me, I had a lot of coaches reach out to me when I worked for FC Dallas to coach for their clubs. I was like, why is there such a high demand? Like maybe female, bilingual, licensed. I don't know. Or maybe they're just trying to grow their clubs, whatever it is. I was like, I'm gonna bet on myself and apply everything that I've learned with all these other youth clubs and market myself and launch Skills for Soccer in 2014 in Highland Park. And then I also volunteered coached at different organizations just so I could keep growing myself as a coach. And the thing is, I mainly coach boys. I only started coaching all girls teams recently through ODP and high school soccer, but I mainly have had boys. I don't know why.
It's whatever you, I'm assuming that probably stems from playing with majority of boys and from until you're in high school. Everyone coaches whatever until a certain age and it's what you get introduced to. Now, you took your e-course with your dad. So did you coach at all with your dad other than taking the e-course, or was it just the opportunity to take the course together?
He coached local clubs, like recs, not like club. And but he was more of a ref. I don't know. I think he mainly did it for me for support. But yeah, he's mainly refed and he's made advanced in the refing world. But I think, yeah, I think more so he did for support.
That's awesome. So your dad refs then. That's pretty cool. Funny. So you have the other aspect of the game than just the parent on the sideline, your dad.
Oh, taught me a lot as a ref. He's like, you can do this and you can do that. I'm like, okay, thanks, noted. But also with the refereeing, we did VAR too. He did it in the Houston Dynamo and I did it for FC Dallas.
It's so interesting how if you've listened to any of my episodes or if you hear me talk, I don't have a soccer background. I was just a parent that knew nothing about the game that started to coach at I9. Then I'm the type that, like you, I'm not a perfectionist, but if I'm going to do something, I do it full wholeheartedly and I don't back down, and it becomes my thing to go do. So I get that personality trait that you're talking about of wanting to do things to the best that your abilities can allow and making sure that you're giving the support to the players. And that's where I would spend hours every week for 6-year-olds' practices, planning, figuring out drills and things to do with them to help them improve at that age. And it's crazy how much, like you said, these club coaches spend hours a week from their family. And if they have multiple teams, it's even more. And then the weekends are gone on top of it. So with your time with the Houston Dynamos, you just worked in marketing, or did you expand beyond marketing, or was that just the focus until you were done with school?
Yeah, I just was part of the marketing team because it was a part-time job while I was still in school full-time. And again, we went all throughout Houston. And once I got into coaching, they had me do the Texas Children's Health Plan clinics. It was 1 hour before the home games. So I'd go coach and then I'd come over to where it was like, I think it's like a German style thing where they have a soccer fest and they have all the vendors there and everything. And I'd come over and work that. And it was so awesome because I'd be there in the parking lot during Street Fest or Soccer Fest, and all these families would come from all over. And I had met them throughout the week. And you're just like everywhere throughout the week, whether at a school or a restaurant or a viewing party. And they're like, hey, how are you? And they're like all giving you high fives. And you're like, hey. I was like, wait, where did I meet him? What day of the week was it? But they remember you. You made an impact in their lives. It was fun. You gave them a free soccer ball that they'd treasure forever or a jersey. I don't know, just soccer is just amazing that way. And it's very, I love that it's very international, no matter what language you speak, like we all understand goal and we all cheer. So I love it.
That's amazing. So that was in Houston, and I'm assuming, when did you move to the DFW area then? Because I'm assuming you started your soccer for skills in Houston, then moved up here later on.
I started it in Dallas, and that's when I was with FC Dallas for about 2 years already. I think that was 2012, 13 when I was with FC Dallas. And I was on the admin side on the youth with the youth. So Chris Hayden and Chris Clark, I was with them with the U11 through U19. So I helped set up like registration, do the paperwork for tryouts, contracts, like all that stuff, set up field practices, spaces for the teams. I got to know a lot of amazing coaches and I also did their camps.
Gotcha. Yes, I know Chris Clark. My
He's
son
all.
goes to camp with him, and he's
Yeah.
there every summer still.
Camps are awesome.
So as you move through your process, let me get back to my questions. Sorry. As you move through your process of coaching, was there any times that you talk about burnout? Do you feel like you got burned out, or is it just like a lull that you go through and then you just find that happy medium again in life? Because I feel no matter if you're coaching part, like you're doing your soccer for skills or anything, eventually you get a low point. And coaching wise, I found it to be very therapeutic. I love my podcast because I find this to be very therapeutic for me.
Yes.
Do you find coaching and doing what you're doing now to be very helpful for you to be successful in your personal life then?
Actually, if it wasn't for soccer, I would tell you this. I've never thought that I'd have depression or postpartum depression. I was like naive to that world. I was like, oh, you just have a baby and life moves on. But no, it shakes your world, but in a good way. And you just adjust. So, as a mom, I started Skills for Soccer in 2014. I had it for 2 years. I did private small group training and even did birthday parties. I was had that time, all the time in the world to just like, yes, I can. I'll do it. I'll do it. I got pregnant. And honestly, I got scared because I was like, what if a kid like accidentally hits my stomach with the soccer ball? And I was like, let me just press pause on this and I'll resume it later in life. But I didn't plan for what I was going to have with my son. And it was an emergency C-section. And that process to the recovery process was not what, again, what I had planned. So I always have been active. I've always trained. I've always been able to see a soccer. I hit postpartum depression with my son because I couldn't work out as soon as I thought I could. And when even though outside you look like you can work out, internally it's still layers and layers that's trying to recover. And if I started too soon, I'd have pain. So, yeah, soccer has been my, what I tell some of the girls, like my sanctuary. As soon as I step onto the field, all my problems, everything else goes away. Like it gives me such a great energy to be able to be out there and coach and get these girls, boys moving. And also for them, maybe it's their only time that they get maybe structured physical activity. And I want to do it in a fun, impactful, positive way for them. And also with my daughter, the same thing. I was like, that's when I started my podcast because like I'm scared to get postpartum depression again and not be tied to the game somehow. So I was like, at least I can talk to people about soccer.
I think that's important to have because I feel like to me, it's an outlet. It's a place, like you said, it's a sanctuary. I think when I did an interview with Soccer Dave, he talks about there's a meme or a video of players walking onto the soccer field. It goes from being very quiet to all of a
Okay.
sudden a very upbeat moment of them being on the soccer field, and the how that's why they do it. It is for that moment to be on the pitch. And I think so many people miss that window and don't understand that window, maybe the better way of phrasing it. So as you've been coaching, what has been your favorite? I won't even ask that one yet because we aren't to that point. I'm trying to think timeline wise. So 2004. So When did you start working? You said 2 years. You've been coaching with ODP for 2 years. What were you doing slightly before ODP then?
So soccer's always been in the background, whether I did admin for, I think I did that for with DKSC for a bit. FC Dallas Youth, I also did that admin with them in camps and clinics. Soccer had always been in the background, and I would even do skills for soccer, maybe privates here and there after having my son. I was always tied to soccer some way or somehow. Gary Williams, I know he reached out to me in 2013 to do ODP, and I was like, I was new to Dallas and I really didn't know much about it. I was like, nah, I'm okay. So looking back, I was like, I should have said yes, but it is what it is. It's timing. I got my C license recently. I was like, I think now would be a better fit. So that's when I started to do it 2 years ago with ODP. But no, soccer had always been in the background, whether with a different club or something. So.
That's cool that you've always been tied in some form, some way to the game. Now, with ODP, how do you view, and not politics aside of the world of soccer, because no matter if you're playing club, rec, or anything, there's always politics involved. How do you view ODP then? Because conversations I've had about ODP, I have a warped view on it, and maybe you can help me change my viewpoint on this because I don't view it as a lot of people. I view it as a way for kids to be seen on for the national team, but if they're talented, they're going to be seen no matter what. It's just another avenue. So with ODP, so if you can give me a brief understanding or a brief viewpoint of it from your perspective, because as a coach, I think you have the better understanding it than someone looking at it from the outside.
I think there's only a very low number of us that do ODP that are not affiliated with the club. So for me, I'm one of them. I am not affiliated with any club. And again, I have skills for soccer. If they're looking for extra training, I can assist with that. But for the ones that coach club, they can only say what's on their part. But for me, I love the organization. You have kids who, first of all, you have to be a club player to be able to try out. And I'll tell you how the tryout process went. We had these girls, they signed up, and I had U11. So it's their first year trying out. I had amazing head coach, Coach Jason Gocher. Just even like how he set the tone from the beginning. Hey, we know that you probably are nervous, but it's okay. Just try your best. We have them play in the positions that they're comfortable with in. And we're giving like, I don't know, there were so many girls, like maybe over 70, 80 that tried out. And we had our US characteristics sheet that we had to look at, from their touch to their confidence to how they spaced out, all that stuff. We had to take notes. And I don't know any of them because, again, I'm not in the club world. I don't see you. And for the club ones, like maybe they have seen them. So they know, okay, this is how she plays, whichever in their games. But for me, I had a whole blank slate. Like I could just go off of their skills and then they would scrimmage so we could see them in the game. So then we made the selection, picked the girls. And now, okay, we set that high expectation that yes, you play with your club, but when you're here, you're representing North Texas ODP. You carry yourself at a higher level. And just teaching that from the beginning for them to, okay, I need to carry myself different. I need to set an example. I need to be like, we're not here to waste time. We're here to train. And we give them that higher level of training. And yeah, I think Coach Gocher has like his A and a couple other like high licenses coaching in college. So he constantly is giving them like nuggets here and there if they want to play college and stuff like that, even though they're U11, if they're aspiring to play at a higher level, like what they can be doing now. So we have training once a month, and then they have two tournaments. One is in Round Rock where we play in South Texas, and then I think we're going to Atlanta this summer. But then they got the opportunity to play other ODP top-notch players from South Texas, El Paso, or I think in Georgia, maybe other states. And then from there, you get looked at and then possibly be able to play at a higher level, like you said, regional camps and stuff. And even for the higher ODP players, they can play in college and like what that avenue would look like to get to go to college combine camps and stuff. So as a player, I would have loved to learn more about that and maybe try it out when I was younger. but the ones that are in it now enjoy it. And you're constantly having to try out every year. You're not guaranteed a spot the following year. You have to consistently show your work ethic, your efforts. Don't expect something just to be handed to you. So I
Now
don't
without
know if that's a question.
no, that answers it well. Now with tryouts, and this is where, and you don't, if you don't feel comfortable answering, I understand. With tryouts, is it a multiple tryout session? As a parent, if I'm having my child try out for a club even or a new coach, I have a 3 to 5, 6 tryout period sessions to have them to go work with the coach. And the only reason why is because as a parent, I know it takes a while for my kid to adjust. And listening to advice from other coaches, most coaches that I know that want to see a player, it takes a while for them to get used to the tone of the coach, the co tone of the team, the teammates. And is it a short tryout period, or is it like a one weekend thing where they go try out for 6 hours over a weekend or whatever it may be? I have no clue how ODP truly works, only from hearsay.
Yeah, so
So,
2 tryouts for 2 hours is what we had this year. So we had a 2-hour window with the U11s, and that was like the first weekend of August, and the second weekend, same thing again, 2 hours. And then we would narrow it down, I believe, for the third. But I completely understand what you're saying, because even when I walked on in college, I was like, that's it. Like, you gave me an hour or whatever it was. And I got great feedback from the top players. And it's no, you didn't make it. But that's what we keep telling them. Even if you didn't make it this year, come again. Keep coming. Keep working hard off your club training, whether it be with the wall on the ball. But yeah, it literally is just two for 2 hours each. And then we narrow it down. And then we have, oh, and then I think you can get invited to come try out. I do remember that last year, but I haven't heard it this year. So they could get invited to come try out at one of the practices.
that's cool. I think that as a parent with a kid that knows my child the best, like you can't just see a kid once or twice. I feel like watching how getting feedback from coaches, like when my son goes to a soccer camp, is great because they've seen him all week. He finally settles in by day two, day three. And you're talking full day camps. It's not like he's there for 4 hours and he's done. He's there for 6.5 hours, 7 hours, because that's what the length of the camp is. And the coach gives great feedback when you ask them at the end of the week. That's been my experience. But I want to go back a little bit because I have it written down and you talked briefly about it. You started a college program at your community college, and I think that's phenomenal. And you were so excited to express that when you were talking about it and having people that never, young ladies that never played the game before play. I think that's phenomenal. So how was that experience for you starting a program? Because I know coaches that have started programs and they say it's so stressful. And here you're a player that kind of instigated this whole process for a college. And is the program still running today, or was it?
I need to double check, because I was like, I'm pretty sure I checked it a few years ago and it was. But that wasn't my first time doing it. In sixth grade, I was part of also like student council. And we have in junior high, it was football for boys. What is it? Basketball and track. And for girls was volleyball, basketball, and track. And since I wasn't playing club at the time, my student council teacher, I was like, can we do a soccer team? Like, why don't we have soccer? And she was like, oh, we can look into what it would be to start one. She was an amazing teacher. I can't remember her name, but shout out to her, because she could have easily said no. But she was like, yeah, let's go find out how we can start one. I guess that's part of student council, is like starting groups and stuff. So I reached out to her, and we put flyers all over the school as well. And we wanted to do a boy and a girls team, but we made barely enough to do co-ed. And then we started to play other also schools. I don't know if they already had their programs. I'm pretty sure they did. And then, so it was York Junior High, and we started our own, and we started to play co-ed. And That was fun. So that was like in sixth, seventh grade, whatever that was, junior high. And then in Montgomery College as well, same thing. Freshman in college, I was like, why is there a two men's team? We don't have girls' team. Let's start one. Again, student activities. I asked my director, I was like, can I put flyers around and see if we can do a team? He's like, yeah. So design the flyer, put them around campus, and girls showed up. Okay, can we bring more girls? Because this is not enough. Like, it's going to be like maybe 7v11. Actually, our first game, this sounds crazy, but we played with three players.
Wow.
Yeah, because I don't know what it was, maybe the commitment or the time or whatever, but our first game ever, it was the student athletic director, Leticia, this other girl named Joanna, and myself. And the other team was like, it is what it is. They blew us out the first half, and then they played with less players, and it was pretty even then. But yeah, we played with three. We're like, we drove this far. Like, we want to play. So that was crazy. Oh my gosh, just saying that out loud. But no, we grew it. And then we eventually had 11 players, and then we had subs. But yeah, it was nice to start that.
That, to me, that's impressive. So, as you've done this, do you look back at that as a moment for your career? Because I'm looking at it, I'm assuming you helped coach, if not coached, the team. I don't know how it would have worked because I know that's a huge financial commitment for any school to start a program. And I'm assuming
Well,
you helped with some of that.
we actually wore boys' jerseys. So that was the first year. But I think a few years I checked in later and they had like sponsors and then they had like jerseys, like women's cut. But I think that we've gotten used to that as girls and we've had a lot of men's just hand me down. But hey, we were just happy to play. We had the logo on the front, even though our shirts fit is so big. But no, it was fun. It was experiences that, even I was like some of the girls' bridesmaids later on in the future because we became close and it was fun. And they were like, I have never played before and I just wanted to come try out. I was like, yeah, it's welcome to everybody, whether you're a beginner, whatever. None of us are pro here. Actually, there was one pro girl. She played for Brazil. What she was doing there, I don't know what, but we're glad we had her. She played with us for a little bit. Her name was Luana Miesa. I'm also in touch with her still. And yeah, she helped us out. But I think she played for a World Cup for Brazil when like her U17 or something.
Wow.
So we had like beginners and then we had her. But we did it.
So, did you help coach then, or did you just play as a player?
I just played as a player. Maybe like I'd help them. Hey, this is how you lock in your ankle when you're shooting or you pass with this part of your foot. But teaching, sorry, coaching, we did have a teacher who stepped up, Coach Ray Abassi. I don't know what he taught. I think he taught math at the college, and we're like, yeah, we need a coach. Like, it had to be a faculty, and
Gotcha.
he was down. So we appreciate him being out there with us.
I find that to be very impressive because starting anything in a college level is hard, let alone being a college student on top of it. I'm sitting here very impressed because it shows that your drive for the game, your love for the game. And then you finished up there and you went to Sam Houston, you said, and you tried out. How was that experience? You said that it was hard not making the team because you've had all this experience in the past of trying out and working hard and being told that you didn't fit the model. How was it for you to hear that, and it did it motivate you to go work on your skills against a, like on your own more, or did it push you to pivot and look at the other aspects of the game? Because you said you went to Houston Dynamo at that point in time.
Yeah, so I tried out for Sam Houston because I was a junior in college and had done community college. I finished that. And I just knew I wanted to keep playing. So when I tried out, I reached out to the coach. And I know the process is much different. I didn't know what the process was. I was just like, here, coach, here's my information. He's okay, come to a practice. And going to that practice, again, I went in with all the confidence thinking, okay, I'm going to make it because that's all I know is just soccer. But again, in life, you have to shoot your shot multiple times. You're not going to make it the first time. So, as a first generation college student, I could have done more research on my own and said, okay, there's D3, there's D2, there's D1. You can move up from D3 to D2. It's not just one college. But that's where I was going. So I wanted to play there. And when I didn't make it at the time, yeah, I was upset. But the very next day, I was like, I still want to be part of it. And I'm just going to shoot my shot with the Houston Dynamo and see if I can get a job there doing whatever. And I did. But I don't know. I think just players, even if you try to try out for varsity and you don't make it, do your the best that you can where you're at and prove to yourself why you should go to the next level. Extra training. You don't need a private trainer. You can literally now just go on YouTube and learn a bunch of skills. My son, who's seven, we in my room, I have three cones. Go do your skills. Right foot only, left foot only. And then one day he was like, I don't want to do something. I was like, okay, fine. I'll put a challenge. If you do this, if you beat my score, then I'll put away your laundry. He was like, bet. And then he went and he just did all these skills. But it's like, what are you doing as a player to constantly be growing, to constantly, are you just a player that just plays defense? Like, you got to try it all. Midfield, forward, everything. Just be diverse.
You're actually answering a question I will have for later, because I feel parents today want their players all to be strikers and goal scorers, and they forget there's the second half of the game that gets no praise, so to speak, I feel. And if you want to go to college today, that's where you need to be, is learning how to play defense more than shooting a goal. I feel too many kids see the Ronaldos of the world that or Hollands that get all this praise for scoring goals, but they don't see the left back that is doing the great job. I'm drawing blanks on some of these players. I can see their faces. I just can't think of their names that are essential. I think Messi is a great example of this. He plays a midfield position and he is a top scorer, but that's because he's taking placement kicks. He's take or set pieces and PKs, but he has a knowledge of how to touch the ball and where it's going to go when he touches it. So I think parents need to focus on that. So with your coaching experience, what ages do you do private coaching then with for your, because you have the juniors academy that you run, do you coach all the way through high school and maybe even college kids now, or do you only stick to the younger ages, even though you coach at a high school?
So I recently started coaching high school like 2 years ago because I got the C license and I really wanted to grow as a coach, but also apply what I learned in that 6 month course. And when I coached high school, right now I'm coaching high school. Yes, we praise our forward, who's a beast right now. I think she has a record for the goals for the school. She's scoring every single game. Shout out to Jaden. She's amazing. But I step aside with our center back. Her name's Bromwyn. And I told her, I'm a sweeper. Just know that I definitely, if it wasn't for you, we have a zero shutout or like very low scores. I was like, you're killing it in the back. I love our defenders. What is that phrase? Champion, what is it? Forwards win games and defense wins champions. Is that what?
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah. I'm huge on defense. And I think you're always playing defense no matter what. Whether you're, if you are a forward and we do lose it in the attacking third, then what are you doing? Are you just chilling? Oh, okay, there it goes. Or are you pressuring and you're playing defense in the attack and they're going to win it back? So that's for high school. And then for our little ones in the junior academy, ages 2 to 6, every week is a different topic. Yes, we do a lot of ball mastery, but then there's defending. Especially at age 3 and 4, we see a lot of, oh, I'm just going to use my hands and push forward and thrust them away so I can get the ball. So we got to show proper defense. And we always apply a scrimmage at the end so they can, we always do a scrimmage at the end so they can apply what they learned in the class. But yeah, I teach them defense, attacking. When we do scrimmage, I don't let them stay in front of the goal. I kind of space them out. Remember, when we're defending, what are we doing? We're not goalies. We're what? We're defending the goal. And then when we're attacking, you're the forwards. Your job is to score because that's their job. To score, right? And then I'll switch, try to switch them up because I don't want them just to get stuck in that position or think that's all they play. So I try to make them as diverse players as possible. We'll have one class for the older ones to do goalie so they can use their hands, because then they start using goalies, I think at 7 or 8. I need to double check, but depending, I think the Y has that. But yeah, I'm constantly teaching them everything. And even for skills for soccer, every day is a different topic depending on the length of the program. It's okay, today we're just focusing on this. And then tomorrow, we're going to just focus, next week, just focus on defending. try to teach them everything, because yeah, even with ODP players, I think in the last tournament, we had X amount sign up or say they were going to go, but only X amount signed up. And we had like very minimal defenders, like very low numbers. And we're like, okay, who here wants to play defense? And they were like, I was like, the team needs a defender. We're not asking you to be goalie, but we need you to play defense. And the one that stepped up, that's a big bonus point because we want those players that are like, I've never played it. Or maybe in practice they played it, but in the game, maybe they feel like, oh, I'm going to mess up. No, that's why we practice. That's why we put you there. So you can be like, okay, I know what to do. And now in the game, you never know. You might like it.
We have a saying with our son. It's he's 10 now, and we say the same thing to our daughter. It's my daughter wants to play goalie, so it's a different conversation with him, with her than him. But we tell him he can play any position but goalie, because at the end of the day, we don't want him to get hurt. But the other side of the equation is he doesn't care if a ball goes by him. He just wants to play soccer. And it's like he does get mad when they score, but he also understands we've made it very clear to him as a field player. It's if you're playing 9v9, eight other teammates failed the goalie if the ball goes in the goal. And we've made that very clearly and clear to him that he has failed if it came down his side and the ball goes in. It's not the goalie's fault. The goalie's the last line of defense.
Right,
And
exactly.
so with that mindset he has, when he plays goalie, I think that kicks into him. That's if the ball goes in, it's not just my fault, it's everyone else's fault.
I
But he
agree
won't
with
die for the ball. That's half the problem.
I agree with you 100%. I think we just had goalies through the Y, my son, last year. And he's seven now, but when he wanted to play goalie, I was like, oh my gosh. As a mom and as a coach, I was like, ooh, it gave me like anxiety. Like the goalie's the last line of defense. But at the end of the game, he was like, oh, they scored two. I was like, yeah, but do you know how many saves you made? You made these saves. Are you kidding me? Awesome. And then like his whole attitude just changes. He's like, yeah, I did. Did you see that one I did with this one? And then it left my hands, but then I got it again. I'm like, exactly. Just yeah, we understand. Okay, two went in, but then focus on the positive and then how you can get better for the next game.
Now, I find it interesting because I feel like your background's so diverse in this game. You said you played at a young age, watching your dad playing. You went playing, wanting to quit at, I think you said, seven, being hit in the face, and your mom having that conversation, like you made a commitment for the season, and having that tough love at a young age, moving forward, and now coaching. I think, from the sounds of it, your players are able to see that determination. It's not wanting them to be perfect. You just want them to be doing things correctly, best to their ability. And how do you feel the relationships you have with these players that you coach see that? Because I feel you may not expect perfection, but you expect doing things correctly. And that's the mentality I've taken with my son. It is, you may take a shot and it may be the most beautiful shot you ever take, but it was all the right moments connecting to have the correct shot. Do you apply that more of the philosophy of doing things correctly, or do you expect them to be more of having, I don't like using the word perfect because there's no such thing as perfect. And, or do you expect them to be the best to their abilities type of thinking as a coach?
I think as a coach, it's definitely our job to teach. And thankfully, I had amazing coaches, amazing mentors who positively impacted me, not just on the field, but off the field. And I really appreciate that. I've heard stories from other players that are like, my club coached, pulled my hair and put me where I was supposed to be. I was like, what? Who does that? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories. And again, for me, I had amazing coaches myself. So for me, I'm very thankful for that. And if I can continue to, again, grow the game, and even starting with our 2 and 6 year olds, like I tell our coaches, you are the first coach that they're ever going to have for the majority of them. And our job is not only to positively impact them and teach them and do the correct skills, and it's through repetition, but we want to grow the game. Whether they played it when they were 3 years old and they want to do gymnastics and basketball and whatever else, they want to come back to soccer, that's a win. And again, just continue to grow the game on the club level as well, high school. And if you've never played, now there's like adult soccer and co-ed soccer. And there's so much beach soccer, tech ball, just so many ways that you can play the game. Futsal. So it's not just on grass and turf. Like, you can play it so many other ways, whatever age. There's also, I think at the Pit, they do, is it Paralympic? Para, like they're on crutches and stuff.
Yeah,
like
Paralympics.
That. Yeah. You can play the game no matter what. Again, just growing the game. And what we've seen with the last World Cup in 94 to what it is going to be in 2026 gives me goosebumps. If you read the latest article, I think Dan Hunt said he was a ball boy back then, and now he's on the board, and it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's trying to figure out how to get our kids all to be those ball kids for those games.
Yes, yes.
That's been a lot of questions. We can get to that in two.
Hey everyone, I hope you all enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Coach Jo is a remarkable woman. I mean, I have no clue how she has done what she has done in her life so far. And have no fear, almost, it seemed. Starting two different programs, one's in her school and one in her college. I mean, how many kids start programs when they're in school, then go on to college and do the same thing again? And have success with it. I mean, that says a lot who she is. Her ambition, her love, her drive for this beautiful game. I'm not going to continue on too much because the next week's episode is just as good what she talks about. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.